My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors, and one of the key components that we believe is finding and following Jesus together is that piece about our togetherness, that we cannot build relationships with one another, and we can't have unity without communion. And so we just want to spend time during our service as offering time for you to get to know one another, to hear each other's stories, maybe something interesting about one another. And so the way we do that is we take 5 minutes in our service. We invite you to grab some coffee, some donuts, and along the way, to meet someone that you might be sitting around with or not sitting next to. And so the way that we do that and help facilitate that is to ask a question each week. And this week's question is, what's your favorite local place to visit? Like, I'm new here and I want to hear these. What is your favorite local spot? Take the next 5 minutes and we'll see you back in a minute. Well, friends, we are so glad that you are joining us here this morning. We're in a series called The Talmudim, and this series is just really a conversation of what does it look like for us to be the disciples of Jesus that he has called us to be. And we've been talking about this idea of becoming, and this idea that as we as a church, as Pine Lake Covenant Church, as also like the Church of Jesus Christ, that we want to be formed in the way that he has called us to be formed. And so if you've been wondering like what does discipleship look like, if you have never like had a really answer, like one of the things that we want to be really clear about discipleship at Pine Lake is it revolves around three things. Your discipleship and apprentice to Jesus revolves around three things, three pathways. It's be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do what Jesus did. These are the three key components of what our discipleship looks like. They're not linear, they're cyclical, and as we talked about this idea of becoming, one of the things that really we're talking about formation today, came really clear. I've been coaching my son's soccer, and you know, if you know anything about six-year-old soccer, it's a lot about the basics, right? It's a lot about just doing the basic things. And I know that especially sometimes, like this is his second year doing soccer. And when we started saying like, hey, let's do the basics again, let's dribble. And he was like, Dad, I've already dribbled before. I actually even know some teenagers in here that when it's like going back to the basics, they like hate it. They're like, no, like let's, and a new season begins. Like, hey, let's go back to the beginning. Let's learn our basics. Like let's get the fundamentals and then we'll go on. And they're like, oh, I've done this like every year for like 10 years, right? But one of the things that I learned in that kind of formation is that as you're teaching them, especially how to do six-year-old throw-ins, right? Like, how do you do throw-ins? Like, two hands over. And what you're learning is like, is you don't ask this question, but you learn like, what other sport influences do they have when they're throwing in? Like, you get the kid that's like, okay, it's throw-in, and he grabs the ball like this, and he throws it, and you're like, oh, you like throwing a football, right? Like, or it's like a throw-in, and the kid gets it, and they like do a chest pass. I'm like, you like to play basketball. Like, and so it's just these places where all of a sudden, like I'm realizing the basics are more about like understanding their influences in order to help them learn how to do what is, in soccer correctly, how to throw in correctly so you don't have, you lose possession of the ball. And so this morning, we've been thinking about that idea and it was very clear is our big idea this morning is really talking about this, to become like Jesus is a process of both deformation and reformation. That you have to be deformed and reformed at the same time. Like our discipleship with Jesus looks like two pieces. It's about being deformed and reformed. And so this morning we're going to talk about this idea of what becoming like Jesus looks like in the way that we are deformed and reformed. So I want to encourage you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to sit in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. And so if you have a Bible in front of you, whether it's digital or physical, I encourage you to like open it up and see and follow along with us. Or otherwise, you can follow along on the screen. This is what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to read that second verse one more time. This is what we're going to land on. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we have come into this place from just a myriad of places. And we're resting here taking breaths from a week that probably has been trying, has been pulling at us from many directions, whether good, easy, hard, or joyful. But God, we come this morning not just for answers for our week, but just you. We don't come for anything other than you. So God, would you send your Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, a mind to be open to what you have for us, and a heart to accept. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, friends, this morning we're talking about this idea of formation and really becoming who the disciples of Jesus are called to be. And one of the big things that we have to start, and I want to land on for a little bit, but not in like a Southern Baptist, like I grew up like fire and brimstone kind of thing. But discipleship really is a journey of being deformed by the ways of this world. And I think about this a lot because the world is vying for our attention. And if the world is vying for our attention, then the way that it is doing that is trying to form us in a way that takes and wants all of us, not part of us. Like, and we said this like a couple weeks ago, that everything wants your full devotion, right? Like if I said right now, like, are you a Coke or a Pepsi person? Right? Like, I've never met somebody that's like, I love Pepsi and I love Coke, right? Like, I've never met somebody that's like, I like both. And if you do, you're lying. I'm just kidding. But like, alright, or let's go, but an easier one. Like a Mariner fan or a Ranger fan? Like I know that I've come here and I've started to subtly change and form you into really loving those Texas Rangers. No. Or maybe even one that I've learned in formation and I haven't chosen a side yet. But what about those UW or Washington State? Like, right? Like which side of the apple cup are you on? Like I bet if you met somebody who's like, I like both, you would immediately look at them and go, I wonder about your integrity and character. Like, right? I mean, both sides would ask that question. So like, none of us, none of these things just want a portion of you. They want everything of you. They want you to be a fully devoted, participant. They want you to be a fully devoted purchaser, fan. Everything in the world is vying for your complete devotion. And if it's fighting for your complete devotion, then it is doing so through your formation. Through the messages that you are receiving, accepting, and living by, right? You are being formed by clear messages on billboards, on ads, and then subtle messages by people walking around. What are they wearing? What are they having? Where do they drive? Where do they go? It's all of these very clear messages to say, this is the best thing that you should center your life around. Or we judge, we don't judge each other, but we compare ourselves to one another by what you have or what I have. And please, thank you. I'm so glad that you don't compare what I have because, man, if you are, I'm just wearing a Costco wardrobe and that's about it. So, like, there we go. I'm in my 40s. I've arrived. but, like, we are no longer, when we're apprenticing after Jesus, no longer supposed to be conformed by the patterns of this world. Like, Paul says it very clearly. He doesn't say, like, being formed by the world is an option. Or like, there's certain things that are okay. Like, Paul clearly says, do not. Well, and if you're a parent or you've heard anything, or a teacher, it's do not is not like an option, it is a command. It is a command to say, no longer from this moment on, when you have chosen to follow Jesus with your life, it says, from that moment, do not conform any longer from that day to the patterns of this world. Like whenever if you remember your first day when you're like, I am fully committed, I've surrendered my life to Jesus, Paul and Jesus are saying, from that moment on, be conformed no longer by the pattern of this world. And so at that moment, it started the impetus of a deformation from the patterns of this world into the patterns of the kingdom. And that means, what happened later, Paul kind of defines this out a little bit better for us, right? Because sometimes that's like, what does that mean to conform no longer? He says in Galatians to the church, the letter to the church in Galatia, he says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. This is the process of deformation. Like the process of deformation in our lives as disciples says that the world is vying for your formation to form your understanding of sex and sexuality. That the world is vying to form your purpose. That the world is vying to form your anger, your relationships, your shame, your time, your words, your desires, your stress and anxiety. That the world is vying for your formation. It is not giving up the moment you say yes to Jesus. It is actually intensifying then its pressure upon you to continue to be formed by the ways of the world. And thus, we as disciples of Jesus who know that it doesn't get easier, now it actually gets harder, that we have to be move from unconscious to conscious deformation. Not just unconscious where we're like, I know those things and I'll try not to and I'll try harder. But it's a process of deformation. I remember this moment that I had friends over and we were making and trying something new on Friends. I would encourage you, if you're having friends over, don't try a new recipe. Just stick to an oldie and a goodie. But I started this, we were getting to this place where we were missing Chicago. We were in Texas. And so we decided, like, I'm going to make a curry. Right? And I'm going to make a curry, and it's going to be so good. And so I start making it, and I think I'm doing a really good job, because the color, it looks like the picture, right? Everything looks good. And then we go to eat it, and you know, you have your side of rice, and you're putting it in there. Some people put the rice directly in, and sometimes just do a little back and forth. But the moment is like, have you ever had this when you're like feeding somebody, and they're like, It wasn't that it tasted so bad. It was this, right? Like, all of a sudden they're like, hey, do you have any milk? Do you have any bread? It was so hot. And I was like, you know, I have like such, I can't handle. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is so good. Like, it's perfect temperature. Like, this was like, you know, when they give you on a scale of 1 to 5, this is probably an 8. Like, in the little smaller jar, you're supposed to put like a teaspoon or a tablespoon in, depending on how you like it. I'll put like half the jar in. And here's the thing. Like, all of a sudden, like, we decided to give up. Everybody was like, okay, we're going to throw it in, right? We're going to just have the appetizers and throw it in. But in my own pride, I couldn't get it. I was like, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to save it, because I know I can actually make it. I can change it. Like, I can add stuff to it. I could add some more coconut milk. I could add some more rice. I could get it to a place where it is edible. But the reality is you couldn't. Like, here's the thing why deformation is so important. Because just like that red curry, the next day it was still burning hot no matter what I added to it. If you are just trying in your discipleship to add on to how you already exist, it just doesn't work. That red curry is not going to be edible the entire time. Nor is your life as a disciple as you decide, I'm going to add on practices to a life that is already like unlivable. And so this is why deformation is really, really important. And not only that, but I want to give you some, we like to do this, we like to give you some handholds of like, what does that actually look like in discipleship besides good stories? Jesus does this for us. When he's talking in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking to his disciples and people that are listening, he says this. This is deformation in the words of Jesus. He says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Do not be like the hypocrites. When you pray, teaching the disciples who are like, these are good disciples who have raised up and to know the Torah and know how to pray and what prayers to pray. And they ask Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus says is, don't be like this subset of people. And these subset of people are people that pray to God. Don't be like this. Don't pray like this. Because what happens is that they are looking for all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the admiration. This is what he's saying. That don't do this. Don't pray like God, like they're praying for themselves. Praying is a reward, not for them, but for God. And they have taken it and put it upon themselves. They have to say like, I am the one who knows how to pray. If you want to know how to pray, come to me. They do it in full view and public. This is what deformation and his disciples here are saying. Don't do it like this. I think we've all done that in the church as we've been like looking at practices over how the church has been existed in the last 2,000 years. And I think Jesus, even in our life, he was here today, he'd be like, don't do it like this anymore. But we as a church need to listen into this part of deformation. Their natural desire was to do something that was seen by other people, but now it's don't do like this. And so at the same time, as much as we are talking about deformation as one side of the coin, the other side of the coin is reformation. If you are going to be deformed, you need to be reformed. That our deformation necessitates our reformation. You don't need to just be in a relationship with Jesus that says, don't do this. Now do this. And so we as people are saying, like, at the same time that we are being deformed, the text says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by that making new of your mind. That it is both a don't do and renew. That our deformation necessitates our formation. As we get rid of those old pathways, as we deform in the ways that we think and live, we begin to create new pathways of thinking and living. That being reformed into the same likeness of Jesus is the other side of the coin. It's not one separate thing and then the other. If our discipleship is a coin, that deformation and reformation is both sides of it. That you don't complete deformation in that course and then be reformed. At the same time that the coin has tails and heads on it, our discipleship has deformation and reformation at the same time. Being reformed is the opposite of being deformed. We are being formed again, but not by the world anymore, but by Jesus. That in the way of Jesus, we look at the things that are opposite and we are walking away from those and then towards Jesus. And so in the text in Galatians, Paul doesn't just end there of the things that you shouldn't do. He follows up right after that text with this. Don't do that. Do this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That means at the same time that you are being deformed away, that you are being reformed by the Holy Spirit's work in you. And the formation of Jesus is saying, I want you to now be formed by how you love in the way of Jesus. I want the way of Jesus to form what you believe your purpose is. I want Jesus to reform the way that you engage in relationships. That in the way of Jesus, I want you to reform the way you interact with shame. In the way of Jesus, I want you to be reformed in how you understand and use your time. I want you in the way of Jesus to be reformed in the words that you say. In the way of Jesus, I want you to be reformed in the desires that you have for your life. Being reformed is that movement towards new ways in Jesus. Ways that form you. And in the same way that Jesus, that Paul talks about these two different ways of being deformed and reformed. The same way Jesus doesn't just tell the disciples how they should be deformed, but reformed in their prayer life. Going back to Matthew 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. That in that, don't stand out and say many words, but go into your room, close the door in private, and be with the Father, commune with the Father, and say few words. I often say that when I'm praying, you already know prayers. Like Jesus, who knows your heart, you're praying prayers he already knows. Which allows me then to use fewer words. And so in the reformation of Jesus, is that I go away not to get the prize and the notoriety of people, but I get the intimacy of the Father. when a world that wants to see your proclaiming, your goodness, your skill set, your abilities, the disciples of Jesus go away and understand that the best thing that they can do is have intimacy with the Father. It's the same thing Jesus did. Jesus, after teaching in this moment in the Sermon on the Mount, goes away to pray. He seeks isolation. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, seeks intimacy with the Father in the midst of a place where they are asking Him and begging Him to show miracles and wonders and signs. Being reformed is being stretched in new ways, in new places, in new practice that you haven't experienced before. Being reformed is hard. It hurts. It stretches. It makes you, don't stretch like Becca too far, okay? Don't go too deep. Stretch gentle. But it is gonna hurt. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm 40. And all of a sudden, I told my friend who turned 40, he's like, what's 40s like? I was like, you gotta stretch more every day. Morning and night, because your muscles don't work the way they used to anymore, right? And they don't heal the way they used to anymore. But right, and like all of a sudden, you're like, oh man, I should be able to touch my toes. I can't touch my toes. But I will if I continue to be reformed, right? Like the things that we want in our discipleship won't happen just by not doing, but by redoing and reforming. And then here's the thing. About this all. Deformation and reformation, we said, are two sides of the coin. When both of things are happening, then you're transformed. Like, I think about this, these six-year-old boys that I am coaching. And yesterday, watching them as we have practiced and practiced and practiced throw-ins. And as we remind them, as they say, like, hey, don't throw it like a football. Throw it like a soccer ball. And all of a sudden, and you've been working on the skills and practice, and then they start to put those skills into practice in the game, all of a sudden, your eyes are open to the transformation that happens, that they are not just a pack of kids that run all as blobs, but they begin to spread out, begin to look and communicate towards it, pass it to each other, and then all of a sudden it's like, woo, we did something right. Like that's the same thing in all of you, like, and that's one of the beautiful things is when there's a process of working and deforming and getting the bad habits out and then putting the good habits in, all of a sudden, especially in sports, is you see people blossom and transform into superstars. Or in the same way, like, in when you're talking about like raising children or doing anything else, when you talk about deforming in the bad habits and then reforming into the good habits, hey, they don't just run across the street, but start looking both ways. So you don't give dad a heart attack when you're just running everywhere. Like, and then all of a sudden it transforms. Instead of you having to tell them, hey, look both ways, all of a sudden you're watching and they run and they stop and they look both ways. And you're like, yes. All of a sudden, like when we talk about discipleship and being deformed and reformed, it's the same coin. And when that same coin, when both of the things are happening, then you transform. I wonder what it looks like for us as disciples of Jesus here at Pine Lake. If we focus on both a deformation and a reformation, when those things are happening, that those bad habits are being deformed and these new habits are entrenching, that all of a sudden we will transform. I wonder for a second, if the reason why we feel like we are not transforming and becoming like Jesus is because we are either doing just deformation or just reformation, and we get stuck and we feel like we're not moving forward because either we're putting icing on something that is going bad and moldy, or we have nothing to set on. We have no foundation. As disciples of Jesus, this is my hope for me. This is me. I want to see this in my own life. I want to see what it calls about in do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed, being made new, being something different, being something completely other. Like this is the same word that Paul uses as Jesus' transfiguration. When he stands upon the mountain and his fullness of all of his glory is in display at the disciples. The same word that Jesus in all of his glory is standing and going, this is the Messiah. It's the same word that is used here for you and me, that when the process of deformation and reformation, you transform through the power of the Holy Spirit and become something new and utterly beautiful. That is a wonder to behold. And this is what I want for you and I want for me. I want my life to be a wonder to behold, not for me, but because Jesus is doing a work in my life of deformation and reformation, and that by being so deeply entrenched in my desire to become like Him more than anything else, that the process of my life begins to transform, and little by little, the sum total of the little movements towards Jesus, and then all of a sudden, my life is transformed and it looks completely radical and beautiful, and a desire for other people to want and to be a part of. And people ask you and me and our church to say, why are you different? Because we've been transformed by the Holy Spirit, and that it's beautiful. This is what I want for you and me. Instead of like 30 or 40 years of following Jesus and feeling like we're at a plateau, we're the same we've always been, I want to get to this place that our disciple, that we are utterly transformed into this beautiful picture of what it means to be disciples. That are fully devoted to Him. To be with Him. To become like Him. And do what He did. This is the call for us as the Talmudim of Jesus, is to be the disciples that are deformed and reformed. And as we do that, transformed, giving glory to the Father who is at work in you and in me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, You woke us up this morning. And You have promised to be with us always, to be ever present. Holy Spirit, You are speaking to us even now. What words do You have for us? What are You trying to say? Holy Spirit, maybe You're moving us in the way of wanting us to be transformed. And we feel that. But we don't know how to get there. God, Holy Spirit, would You make a way for us to be transformed? To not just be okay with where we're at. Because I believe, Holy Spirit, You have so much more in store for us than we are willing to accept. Holy Spirit, what in our lives do we need to be deformed or reformed in order to be transformed? Speak that word into us this morning. Holy Spirit, keep our ears open even as we move past this moment, that You are not bound to speak to us just in this moment. But every moment is Your moment. Holy Spirit, You are our God and we are Your people. Amen.